Hi everybody, my dear siblings and friends, good morning and welcome home. Welcome to Free Community Church Sunday Digital Service. I hope you are enjoying this bright sunny morning as much as I am. And I'd like to give thanks, you know, in the past few weeks, we have seen actually declining trend for the new COVID-19 cases, whether in the communities or in the dormitories. And as I reflected in the past months, especially of course, since the beginning of the year when the pandemic happened, if you also notice that at the beginning there were a lot of community action in terms of reaching out to people in need. There were a lot of hype and a lot of activities going on, reaching out to the marginalized, the needy, especially to the dormitory workers. But as time went on, I noticed that, or perhaps it's just me, that because of the economic situation that has worsened, a lot of activities have toned down. And today I'd like to invite us, invite you to come along with me, as Pauline lead us into this journey, right, to reflect on Jesus' ministry and how his compassion moved him and his disciples into action, and what that means for us today. And as we prepare for this journey, I'd like to invite you to encounter God, to enter into the Lord's rest, to be with him. And before we go into the respond to the call to worship, later on, during the worship, if you're experiencing some poor quality, the poor quality of worship, please visit aka.ms/FCCLiveWorship. To access the worship in high definition. But don't forget to come back after the worship to join us here for the rest of the service. So may I invite you to join me to respond to the call to worship. Come, walk in green pastures.
We follow the shepherd.
Come, we lie down in green pastures.
We trust the shepherd.
Come, dine at the table of abundance.
We are fed by the shepherd.
Come, dwell in God's house.
We live in the shepherd's care.
Loving shepherd, you know our names, you care for us. When we face darkness and death, walk beside us. When we hunger for your love, fill us with your presence. When we are fearful, feed us at your table.
May we dwell in the house of goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. Amen.
Now I'll hand over the time to the worship team to lead us in a time of worship.
Good morning, FCC. Happy Post-National Day to you. Let's start our worship. We see the world in different light. The question to you is, how do you see the world? Say I see the world your way. I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way. I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way. And I'm walking in love. I see the world of light. I see the world of night. I see the world in wonder. I see the world of night. First in the living colors. I see the world your way. And I'm walking in love. I see the world in grace. I see the world in grace. I see the world in gospel. I see the world your way. And I'm walking in the light. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, the kindness of our Savior, all we ask is to be like Him. That's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. Open nation. Savior,
I stand upon the solid rock of faith in Christ. The steadfast hope shall not break apart within the trial. I am assured your promises will never fail. For long as life remains, you are faithful. God is patient. God is patient. God is kind. You do not envy. You do not boast. Your ways are higher than my own. Your thoughts consume the great unknown. Of this alone I'm sure, our God is love. I draw my breath under your created whisper song. I know my hope shall last long after my flesh retires. From dusk until the dawn, you call your children home. Your righteous love outlasts generation. God is patient. God is kind. You do not envy. You do not boast. Your ways are high. Than my own, your thoughts consume the great unknown. Of this alone, I'm sure our God is love. God is love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 8. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongdoings. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails.
Good morning, church. Will you join me in this time of prayer? Often when we pray, we sometimes think that our prayers are unanswered, but we may not have considered that perhaps it is not God who is not listening, but we who are not listening. In prayer, we often talk and talk. We have lists of people and things to pray for, but we have not paused to listen. In the Psalms, there's the word Selah. It invites us to pause. So today, with all the prayers and concerns in our hearts, I want to invite you to pause and listen to God. God, we come to you and we lift up our fears, our worries, our concerns to you. We pray for those worried about their future, their financial situation, the worsening economy, the stress from the lack of jobs, and the stress from the lack of job stability and income. Selah. God, may we learn to lean on you and trust that you will provide and you will make a way out of no way. We pray for those struggling with health issues. During this time, the situation is compounded by the COVID-19 pandemic. We lift them up to you. Selah. God, we pray for healing, and may all be surrounded with love so they do not feel alone and lose heart even when they are separated from their loved ones as they recover in hospitals. We pray for those on the front lines, the healthcare workers who pour out their all for the patients in their care. Selah. We pray that they are supported and have enough rest, and may you re-energize them to see the work of their hands as blessings to those they care for. We pray for those who are tired and weary. We pray for those who are tired of wearing masks and observing social distancing and keeping away from their friends, not being able to meet. We pray for those who are tired of Zoom meetings. Sila. God, we remember also those who have to wear masks as they work, the hawkers, the essential workers, the cleaners, which makes the work a lot more difficult. We pray for those who are alone and those who feel lonely. The lack of social contact weighs heavily on all of us. Say love. May we reach out to those around us to let them know that someone thought of them and someone cares and they matter. We pray for the scientists and the people researching for vaccine. Selah. And God, we also want to pray for patience for all of us to wait for the time when this will be the thing of the past and we'll walk out of this situation having learned a lot more. Perhaps, God, this is an invitation for us to relook at how our world is structured and how you're inviting us into a new world. I want to close today with a prayer from St. Teresa of Avila. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Selah. So may we be Christ's hands and feet to bless the world. Through our actions, may we step out to be Christ's body. Amen.
Good morning, and thank you, Myak, for that lovely prayer. Selah, indeed. This morning, as we go into a time of looking into the Word of God together, I wanted to invite you to participate in this time. We will be kind of creating this sermon together, like what Myak did in the past 2 weeks. There will be questions along the way that we'll publish on the live Q&A, and we hope that you'll be able to participate in whatever way you can. And I hope that this will be an enriching time for all of us. And I hope to learn from you as well in this process. Today we're talking about compassion. A compassion that moves us into action. The Bible often tells us about God's compassion. But it is the person of Jesus that it shows us. Jesus' whole life and ministry could be described in this one word. Compassion. If we could sum up the whole character of Christ in relation to ourselves, it can be captured in this one sentence found in Matthew 9. He was moved with compassion. Over the past few weeks, I've been thinking about these five words and what it means for me, what it means for us. As Karen Armstrong, the noted scholar of religion, observes, All spiritual traditions extol compassion as the truest mark of our humanity and the most promising path to peace on our planet. Compassion is the means to become most deeply human. Compassion is the heartbeat that restores life. Compassion is the bond of genuine connection. In Matthew 9, we see a whole spectrum of people whom Jesus showed compassion to. And if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to invite you to open it. You can do it online, on your phone, wherever, because I'm not going to be putting the whole chapter on the slides. So just open up the Bible to Matthew chapter 9. And let's look at the whole spectrum of people that Jesus showed compassion to. There was the paralytic. There's Matthew, the tax collector. There was a religious leader and his daughter. A woman who suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years. Two blind men. A mute, demon-possessed man. And so I want to ask you, and start with question one. In Matthew 9, we see a diverse group of people that Jesus ministered to. How did Jesus show them compassion? In what ways did Jesus show them compassion? Okay, so if you can just write like short answers in a live Q&A. It will take a little bit of time for it all to show, maybe about 15 to 30 seconds. And I'll continue a little bit and then I'll go back to reading your answers, okay? But please throw out whatever that you find and that you know, and we'll discuss it together. So in what ways did Jesus show them compassion? What did we see? What examples did we see? I think first, it's the story of the paralytic. And we see that Jesus healed this person, not just physically, but spiritually as well, telling him that his sins are forgiven and healing him so he could stand up and walk. So there's this healing of physical and spiritual ailments. And that was one way that Jesus showed them compassion. Secondly, there was a very different situation. We see Jesus calling Matthew, who was a tax collector, to follow him and become his disciple. Basically, he was giving Matthew a new identity and purpose. Tax collectors at that time were very despised because they would oppress the people, they would collect too much money. But Jesus was calling Matthew, come and be my disciple. And that gave him a new identity and purpose. And in that way, Jesus was showing him compassion. Jesus restored the beloved child of a grieving parent to life, brought her back to life. And the grieving parent just happened to be a religious leader. And there was also another way that Jesus showed compassion. Let me just kind of look at some of the answers that y'all came up with, okay? And so we see Jay said, Jesus responded to their need. Yes, absolutely. Eliza, he gave them time in his busyness, definitely. Tao said, Jesus is kind to them when the rest of the world shunned them. That is absolutely true. And we'll see that even more as we go along. Loretta, he showed compassion by answering their prayers, their issues, their needs. Yes. Yes and yes. And Joel says, healing, yes. And Jamie says, to me, Jesus showed compassion by simply acknowledging their presence, seeing them as a fellow human being, followed by all the actions he did. Yes, Jamie, absolutely. And that's actually what I'm going to talk about after this. Jesus, you see in Matthew 9, he sees the woman who has been hemorrhaging for 12 years. She had been bleeding for 12 years. And Jesus not only healed her, but he turned around and he intentionally saw her. He saw her. He looked into her eyes and he spoke to her. He could have allowed her to just touch his cloak, be healed, and then sneak away. But he wanted her to know that he sees her. He wanted her to know that even if the world has forgotten about her, even if others treat her like she was unclean, and untouchable, he saw her. And he addressed her in a familiar way, using a term of endearment, daughter. He said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." Sometimes compassion is about seeing someone, really seeing them. Most of us have a tendency toward tunnel vision. We are preoccupied with our lives, and we zero in on our own immediate concerns, our own families, our own needs, our own friends, maybe our own communities. We seldom look up and out. We don't stop and take the time to see the needs of the world and the people around us. At the opening of our service today, Jimmy reminded us about our migrant workers here in Singapore and how there might be less help right now for various reasons, and perhaps this is an area we should continue to be concerned about, especially for their mental health. Do we see them? Even with people close to us, we sometimes don't see them, really see them. Sometimes we tune out the painful realities of human suffering by tuning in to other distractions. Do we look away because it's sometimes easier to do so? When was the last time you looked upon someone else's pain and dared yourself not to look away? Jesus saw each hurting person, and in doing so, Jesus helped them to feel more human, more valued, more beloved. In Matthew 9, we also see that Jesus showed compassion by touching the blind men. He touched their eyes and said, "Become what you believe." And it happened. Their eyes were opened. Jesus also cast out the demon and restored the person's voice. You know, the original Greek word for compassion is a fascinating one. It's expressive of the deepest emotion, a literal churning of one's gut in response to seeing someone suffer. When Matthew said he was moved with compassion, he meant that Jesus felt for the people in a visceral way. I guess the gospel writers like Matthew were watching Jesus very closely and could sense his deep emotions when he was with people, and maybe the anguish on his face showed. Perhaps they could see the sorrow in his eyes as he gazed on the people who came to look for him. So Jesus' compassion is a deep emotion, but it is always followed by action, as seen in the many examples we looked at. Jesus felt deeply for the people, and he healed, called, restored, saw, spoke, touched, and cast out. I want to pause today to ask you, how has God shown you compassion in your life? How has God shown you compassion in your life? If you can look back, if you can remember any instances where you felt God and God showing compassion in your life, would you share your stories? Just brief ones, so that we can encourage one another. I ask you about your stories of experiencing God's compassion, because as we hear from one another, we see how God is still at work in our lives today. It's not just in the Bible from many years ago. God is still showering us with love and compassion in our present time. For some of us, we may not have any stories to share, and that's okay. But I hope in time to come, you will. For me, I will always remember how God reached out to me in compassion many years ago and reminded me that I am loved. I am loved just as I am, even though I was the one who built up a wall to keep God out first. But yet God reached out to me in grace and compassion. And I wonder, what are some of the stories that you might have? Shall we read it together? And Jeffrey said, "My reading of our daily bread today talks about little children, the insignificant of the society, yes. Joy, so maybe by being there. And these are responses to the earlier question, right, which are really good questions, right? How has God shown you compassion in your life? Think about that. And if you have any stories to share, please feel free to share later on as we go along, okay? As we each have been shown compassion, so we are called to show compassion on others. Love, Jesus said, the kind of love that costs us something, whether it's our effort, our pride, our suspending of judgment, love is what identifies us as God's children. And surprisingly, this is what it means to be perfect, to love as God loves. We know this is impossible for us to do on our own because we are judgmental, prejudiced, and small-hearted. Well, at least I am. We can only love with this kind of radical and crazy-sounding love when we allow God to fill us with love and we cultivate a relationship with God who sees us as we are and loves us compassionately. Then we learn how to love and practice compassion on others too. I just want to read out some of the things that you all shared on how God has shown you compassion in your life. Loretta said, I asked for genuine friendships and connections, and God brought me to FCC. And indeed, it's been a great joy getting to know you, Dr. Loretta, and thank you for being a part of us. Sean says, when I lost my faith, God showed up. During my journey of FCC, I nearly gave up on the church, but he showed me that every home, there are issues and how we should show love more than anger. Thanks, Sean. And Rachel said, God has brought me so many great friends, even though I've only been in FCC for a year and a half. Sorry, hope this isn't too cringy. No, not at all. Thanks, Rachel. And we're so thankful for your friendship as well and for your presence here with us. Jay says, last night I was not able to sleep due to a back pain coming from my spine. Oh dear. It caused me to be awake and not able to go to sleep. I called out to the Lord to help me with the pain. And after a while, the pain subsided and I was able to sleep. Even now, the pain has not come back. Thanks, Abba Father, Jesus. Thank you for sharing that, Jay. I hope you feel better. And thank you for joining us for service and sharing your story. Will says to seek forgiveness and return to the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Will. And Jeffrey, who said, David Shee, who continues to visit the elderly lady that the Dirty Hands Ministry have adopted yesterday in the midst of the pandemic. And that is a way of showing compassion as well, being that conduit of God's compassion to others. Thank you for sharing that. And so at the end of Matthew 9, we see these two verses. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So my next question is, what do you think Jesus saw that moved him to compassion? It says when Jesus saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion for them. What do you think Jesus saw that moved him to compassion? What did Jesus see that stirred up those emotions of compassion for the people? Well, Matthew says that Jesus saw a harassed and helpless crowd. And they were distressed, dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus obviously didn't just see their physical needs or what was on the surface. Jesus saw beneath the surface and sensed their distress and their helplessness. So in a nutshell, Jesus saw their spiritual and physical needs. And let's see what you all had to say. And Mel, thank you for sharing. Said, God did help to protect me in my workplace, I remember. That's fantastic. Thanks, Mel. And Joy says, maybe God has made me known a group of dear people who know how to show gratitude and who remind me of positive perspectives. That's wonderful. Matthew says, God gave me a way out to Singapore. All the social and political unrest happened in Hong Kong back in 2014, the Umbrella Movement. Indeed. And thank you, and I'm glad that you are here with us, Matthew. God is indeed faithful. So what do you think Jesus saw that moved him to compassion? In a nutshell, I would say it was their spiritual and physical needs. Jesus went beneath the surface. Matthew says Jesus saw a harassed and helpless crowd. And I wonder, who were their harassers? Who was harassing them? Well, most probably their religious leaders, the ones Jesus called out as hindrances to the people seeking after God. Jesus had said, woe to those religious leaders because they put up barriers and burdens on the people by crushing them with unbearable religious demands. And you'll find that in Matthew 23, verse 4. Throughout Jesus' ministry of healing and compassion, there was one group of people who were not impressed. In fact, they were not just unimpressed, they were outraged at what Jesus was doing and teaching. And they were mostly some of the religious leaders at that time. At first, if you see Matthew in the beginning, in verse 3, Matthew 9, verse 3, at first they said it to themselves when Jesus was healing the paralytic, maybe in their minds or they were whispering among themselves. And he said, in verse 3, then some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming, right? When Jesus told the paralytic, your sins are forgiven. But Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? Then, as the story progresses, they went one step further. And then they questioned his disciples when they saw Jesus eating dinner with many tax collectors and those the religious leaders would deem sinners. It says in verse 10, when the Pharisees saw this, they said to the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard this, Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners. And then, as you go along, they got bolder, these religious leaders. They said out loud to the crowds, who were amazed when Jesus cast out the demon from the one who had been mute and was able to speak again. And in verse 33, you see, the crowds were amazed and they said, never has anything like this been seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, by the ruler of the demons, he cast out the demons. When the Pharisees saw Jesus healing the demon-possessed man, what did they say? Unlike the crowds who were amazed, they said Jesus must be in a pact with the prince of demons. Does this sound a bit familiar, even in our modern day? I want to ask you the next question. Why do you think, unlike the crowds who were amazed, the religious leaders attributed Jesus' work and power to the devil, the prince of demons? Why? Okay, so please continue to share. So some of the things that y'all said earlier to the earlier question, what do you think Jesus saw that moved him to compassion? Loretta says he saw the people suffering. Yes, absolutely. Joe says frailty. Yes, the sense of vulnerability and weakness of the people. Matthew says Jesus feels our pain, vulnerability and struggle in life. Maybe he understands very well as he was human. And that's absolutely true. Jesus was God with us in solidarity as a human being. So why do you think, unlike the crowds who were amazed at Jesus' humanness, at Jesus' compassion and Jesus' power, why do you think the religious leaders attributed Jesus' work and power to the devil? So as you put in your answers, let me just talk a little bit about some possibilities, okay? Maybe they were jealous of Jesus' popularity with the people and felt that he was unorthodox because he did not fit their definition of holy. He certainly didn't go to any of their religious schools and train to be a scribe or Pharisee. Yet his compassion and power to heal could not be denied. So they tried to dismiss him by attributing his power to the prince of demons. All right, so let's see what some of you said. Jack says, the Pharisees' lack of faithfulness, that despite overwhelming evidence of God's magnificence, they could not see it for what it is. Yes, absolutely. Rachel says, because no one has done it before. Yeah, maybe it was the first time they ever saw something like this. It was too fantastical for them to believe it was from God. There was no precedent in recent times or their times. Yes. Alvin says, Jesus, by breaking boundaries, was undermining the authority of the religious leaders. Yes, absolutely. I'm sure they felt that their authority was undermined. And Jimmy says, perhaps jealousy. They felt their status threatened, the fear of being exposed. Yes. And Joyce says they saw Jesus' act as a threat to the authority they built up. Yes, absolutely. Another thing that I thought of, and it's similar to something that Rachel said and some of you said, is that maybe they honestly couldn't see Jesus' connection with God. The idea of holy was different, and Jesus just didn't fit the bill. They couldn't see God in Jesus. Somehow they couldn't tell. And that was what Jack said. They could not see it for what it was. They could not see God in Jesus. And perhaps they refused to see God in Jesus because he just didn't fit their definition of holy. And so they would not try to see. Matthew says, because the religious leaders thought Jesus is challenging their positions and status quo. Yes. Another person said, the religious leaders felt that their power over the weak was threatened by Jesus. Yes, because they were in power. And now Jesus seemed to have a lot more power than them with the people who are vulnerable. They also did not see the value of people as children of God, which Jesus did. Yes. The religious leaders felt that their power over the weak was threatened by Jesus. Okay, that's a repeat. Eliza says, jealousy, pride, self-righteousness, a lack of love, narrow-mindedness. And Sean says, FCC is like modern-day Jesus' work. They do not understand or think it is right, hence it is devil work. Thank you, Sean, for segueing this. So in the same way, why do you think people might criticize us? Maybe they can't see God in us, or perhaps they have not tried. Maybe they refuse to see that God is in us and with us because we don't fit their definition of holy. Recently, Myak and I have been invited by various groups to respond to or be involved in conversations relating to the City Revival video and the new campaign by True Love Is. As we get involved with these conversations, I have been mulling over what true compassion is, especially when responding to those we may disagree with or who we perceive are causing harm. Compassion is core to our faith, but it definitely is a work in progress for me, and it's not easy to practice well. Compassion is a word that means to suffer with. When we have compassion, or rather when we practice compassion, because I don't think it's something that comes naturally to us, we are suffering with the deserving and the undeserving. We are walking in their shoes, imagining their unique suffering. We're peering into their hearts and listening carefully to their pain and to their stories to understand what's really going on underneath the surface. Is it a lack of love, understanding, self-respect, or kindness? When we see another suffering, then I think we can lay our heart over theirs and pray for their suffering. You know, often when we are hurt, we want to hurt back. When we are put down, we want to put down the opponent. And this is our ego's natural defense mechanism. We all move toward the ego until we realize that is not the way to go. and change from the inside, from the power position to the position of vulnerability and solidarity. People don't really change by themselves. I know it's true for us. God changes us. And if we can open ourselves up to God and let God's compassion slowly transform us. I wonder, how did Jesus respond to his opponents? Well, Jesus called out the hypocrisy and the inconsistencies of the religious leaders and the way they put unnecessary burdens on the people. Seeking justice is part of God's and Jesus's radical compassion. Jesus confronted and spoke truth through the religious systems and leaders that sought to oppress the people. At the same time, he continued to minister with love, grace, and compassion every opportunity he had, even to the religious leaders who sought him out. In the book Compassion in Practice, The Way of Jesus, Frank Rogers writes, "The path of compassion points to another way. To be sure, it is a way that stands up to violation, it protects the vulnerable, it empowers the victimized, holds offenders accountable, and restrains the unrepentant. However, it does so in ways that refuse to demonize the others, even those whose deeds are monstrous, that recognize the suffering of the attacker, though hidden underneath his or her attempts to inflict pain, and that invite the offender's restoration to the community on the condition that he or she makes amends. We can meet adversaries with empowered constraint, emphatic understanding, and a genuine sense of restorative care." Someone once said, "Compassion is not soft, compassion is fierce." Jesus shows us that compassion can be fierce. It is a strong emotion that leads to healing actions. Compassion is justice seeking. In the book of Common Prayer, Liturgy for Ordinary Radicals, Shane Claiborne and Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove said, "Peacemaking, or you can say the practicing of compassion, doesn't mean being passive. It is the act of interrupting injustice without mirroring injustice, the act of disarming evil without destroying the evildoer, the act of finding a third way that is neither fight nor flight, but a careful, arduous pursuit of reconciliation and justice. It is about a revolution of love that is big enough to set both the oppressed and the oppressors free." The radical compassion that Jesus shows in the Gospels is not simply feeling sympathy and empathy, but it's acting concretely on behalf of the afflicted. In Matthew 9, verse 36 to 37, it's pivotal because it tells us why Jesus does all these acts of healing, calling, seeing, restoring, uplifting, and sending out. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And immediately in Matthew 10, just after, Jesus sends out the disciples to do the very same things that he did. And it's all because of compassion. Jesus looks out at each person in the crowds and felt gut-wrenching compassion for them. Notice that Jesus asked his disciples to pray for God to send out more laborers into the harvest field, and the disciples end up being the answer to their own prayer. Jesus evidently intends his disciples to be the answer to their own prayer. For at the beginning of chapter 10, he's sending them out already, giving them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And this is equally true today as it was in Jesus' time. What about us? What is God calling us to do? Perhaps Jesus also intends for us to be the answer to our own prayer. We may not be able to show compassion like Jesus did, but we can definitely start somewhere. What would happen if we truly believed that we bear the presence of Christ to every person we encounter, in every home, workplace, or neighborhood we enter? What would happen if we saw every conversation as an opportunity to speak words of grace and healing? Every interaction is an opportunity to embody Christ's love for our neighbor. What is God's compassion moving you to do this week? Shall we pray together? God, you show us infinite compassion and grace in our lives. And through Jesus, you show it even more evidently what it means to not only feel the deep emotion of compassion, but to also act on it, especially on behalf of those who are afflicted, those who are vulnerable, those who require help. God, help us to grow in this area. We acknowledge that it is not easy for us to truly practice compassion well, but we ask for your help. Help us, dear Lord, that we may be your people of compassion, no matter where you send us. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Irene, you are muted.
Thank you, Pastor Pauline. As the praise and prayer segment bring us into space where we can worship God in spirit and in truth, and the sermon provide us with some food for thought about God and our Lord Jesus' compassion and love for us, and feed our spirit with nourishment. Let us now prepare ourselves to share a meal of fellowship and holy communion with God and with each other. Do take some time now to prepare the elements of holy communion, the bread and the fruit of the vine, which symbolizes Christ's body and blood in remembrance of his love and sacrifice for us. We gather each Sunday at this table. Even though at this time we are not physically together, the table of God's feast transcends time and space because God's love transcends all boundaries. So this table recognizes no boundaries. Here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. This means you do not have to meet any criteria. You do not have to be a member of FCC. You do not have to be baptized. You only need to recognize that God's grace is sufficient. Good Shepherd, we take your care for granted. In the midst of your many blessings, we complain of not having enough. In the presence of danger, we fail to trust your abiding love. When you set the table before us, we turn aside from you. Call us back into your fold and help us trust your caring presence and provision that our actions may proclaim your truth.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the day of our lives. God forgives our failures and calls us back into the flock.
Loving God, our good shepherd, we are the sheep of your pasture. You know us by name.
We offer grateful thanks to your loving care. Open our hearts and minds to the guiding of your spirit in our lives. Lead us in right paths. that we may serve you in truth and action. Amen.
God prepares the table for us, offering us a feast of abundant love. Our cups overflow with the bounty of grace, for our shepherd knows us as no one else can, restoring our souls, healing our brokenness, nourishing us with bread and cup for the life of ministry. We remember how Jesus, our shepherd, took bread and after giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Come to the table and feast with the shepherd. Let us partake these communion elements together with thanksgiving.
God of love, you abide with us. Your loving presence steals us. You provide us with all that we need in abundance. Help us love one another in truth and action. Help us give of ourselves to those in need. Help us care for others the way our shepherd cared for us. May our lives reflect our wholehearted trust in our shepherd's everlasting love and care. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone, once again. Thank you for coming to our Free Community Church, FCC's Sunday digital service. So for the many siblings and brothers and sisters and new friends, old friends and new, here with us, you know, welcome home. And for those new with us, right, free actually stands for first realize everyone's equal. And so over here, you are welcome to fellowship, to call this place a home, a spiritual home for you. So if you're new, help us to stay in touch with you, right? And leave your contact details at our welcome form, which will be shown in the Q&A chat at aka.ms/FCCwelcome. And importantly, as we are approaching in 2 weeks' time, the last Sunday of the month, our church will hold a newcomers meeting at the last Sunday of every month, so that you can actually, new members or new friends can actually know us better. And you can actually speak to our pastors and the members of the church and get to know one another better. So don't be shy and just fill up the form and let us know who you are so we can serve you better, or email us at info@freecomchurch.org. Right? For the next announcement, it will be a usual announcement, right? There'll be three. Number one, and while many of us are still working from home, telecommuting, or even as you know, the news have said, you know, economic situation has worsened. And if you need pastoral support, you need a listening ear, and you may be maybe spiritually or emotionally at a loss, reach out to us at info@freecomchurch.org, and our pastors will be able to provide some pastoral support to you. And immediately after service, we have actually two live chat rooms that will be happening, will be taking place. First one will be the live prayer, where it will be a prayer room where we can go in, share with our pastors, maybe some of the concerns that you may have. You may want to, it's also an opportunity for you to go in and talk to the pastors and chit chat, you know, about we pray for the community, pray for the intentions that we have. So join us at aka.ms/FCCLiveprayer after service. And if you are interested in furthering the discussion or sharing the reflections you have during this on the sermon or during the service, join us for the live discussion room. That'll be facilitated by members of our church council and also the pastors. All right. join us at aka.ms/FCCLiveDiscussion, and there you can actually, we can just go in and share bounce idea off on what we came to our mind during the sermons. All right, so for the next announcement we'll also have is, you know, during a long week, you know, Sunday to Sunday, in between the week, you might need some quiet place to rest in the Lord. So we actually offer a weekly, every Wednesday, we actually have a Zoom prayer meeting that takes place from 8 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. over Zoom. So just maybe you can take a photo, or you want to record this URL down at bit.ly/FCCPrayerMeeting2020. All right, so join us there. So in the past few months, right, we have various monthly conversations, and very excited to share with you, right, in the month of September, we'll be having our queer conversations, all right, whereby we'll actually explore, have conversation about, you know, faith and sexuality. And I'm very excited to share that for the first Friday conversation happening on the 4th September, we actually invite friends and members of the community among us who has actually gone through or experienced conversion therapy and how that impacted them and their stories. So I will really encourage all of us who you may be exploring or maybe struggling with your sexuality and how to reconcile it with your faith, or you want to have a deeper, or you may be an ally or a Christian trying to understand more the story of LGBTQ persons, you know, please join us for this conversation and sign up at info@freecomchurch.org. Right. And then our pastors will follow up with you with the URL to join the conversations. Lastly, if the announcement is going over too long, right, you're like, oh, I've no time to record out all these URLs, not to worry. I encourage you, take out your phone, record down this number, 9366-3818, and add this number into your phone, and you can just call it FCC WhatsApp list. And we will actually send out weekly reminders on the URL links and latest happenings for the week by our church admin. So do add us in this number to your phone and be in our broadcast list. All right, so for the next announcement, very importantly, over the past months, right, you have seen our church service evolved with new elements or sometimes some adjustments being made. These are all thanks to the contribution of the feedback from our congregation, from you, friends and family, and our feedback form aka.ms/FCCLiveFeedback. Every Monday after the service of a Sunday service, the service team actually comes together to reflect, to talk about, and to improve and think of ways to improve the Sunday service experience. And your feedback is especially important because we are slowly moving back. We'll be moving back our production to One Commonwealth, our church on site. And as we continue to, you know, evolve, our service continue to evolve, your feedback is very important to us to help us fine tune and improve the experience for all of us. Right? So I really encourage you to give us your feedback. But and also advertising, right? Advertisement time will be, because we are moving our service back to on-site and at One Commonwealth, all right, anyone who's interested, you know, like want to find out more, you know, how, you know, Sunday service and the production goes on and how it's done, do join us. It's a lot of fun, all right? Don't be too stressed out by that. Come and if you are interested, I want to find out more, I want to learn more, I want to hear more how you guys do it or how the folks and the service team do it. Okay, you can just indicate your interest at the FCC Live Feedback, the feedback form, or simply email it to us in the email earlier, though, which is very easy to remember, right? info@freecomchurch.org to sign up or to reach out to any one of us. Maybe you can just go into the prayer room or discussion room and say, hey, you know, I'm interested to be a volunteer. How do I sign up? So that will be for the live feedback, how important it is. Right, moving on, the next segment will be our giving. Right, in the time of giving and offering, to the Lord and giving to the church, right? You can now give monthly or repeatedly, right? Or once through give.asia. I have to sit down on give.asia, and you can find the link in the Q&A section, freecomchurch.give.asia. Mm-hmm. But before you give, let me bring you through. Maybe some of you are the first time joining us here. So let me bring you through the interface. So there's a few lines to fill up. The first one will be a donation amount. That will be the amount you are offering to you are giving for your offering and your tithing. All right. The second line will be actually a giving to the platform give.asia, and that is not mandatory. So it's a free will. You can actually just leave it at zero if you you choose not to give to give.asia. Next, we please put in your name. You don't have to be a full name. It can be your alias, and then your email. This will help us in terms of being accountable and responsible in our auditing. Lastly, you can actually hide your name from everyone except for the fundraiser, which is our church admin, so you don't have to worry about your personal info or details being leaked out. All right, so whip out your phone or go to the browser and go to freecomchurch.give.asia. However, if you're like me, you don't give by your credit card, and you prefer to, like every one of us are very familiar with going everywhere, scanning QR codes, right? You can now take out your phone and then scan the QR code using your banking app, and then give to either our FCC General Fund or our Building Fund. All right, the General Fund is for the general upkeeping and paying the expenses of regular expenses that's incurred by the church throughout the year. And for the Building Fund is specifically dedicated in paying down the for the building itself. Right, earlier in the video, right, y'all actually saw that, wow, some of members of congregation actually messaged me, hey, wow, is the worship video is really very good. Is it in HD? Lighting is so nice. But actually, little do many of you might not know that actually, right, the original video was like almost in darkness because the lights in our church has spoiled. So our equipments and are 6 years old already, and so many things are actually falling apart. So we encourage you and we seek your faithfulness in terms of giving and offering, so that we can continue the mission of the church and continue to provide a space and to minister to all of us, to one another, and to those who are looking for a spiritual home. So do give, right? Although I know it's very, very nice, right? The ambience and the natural lighting, but it takes a lot of work. And I'd like to give a special shout out to our editing team and video editing. There's Gary and also Raymond, who actually spent a lot of effort and time, right, to adjust the video so that we can actually have a very good worship experience during the Sunday service. So take out your phone and go to and scan the QR code now. But if you are looking for more ways to give, you can actually go to freecomchurch.org/give. That will be the church website with the giving, more details on giving. All right. So while you are preparing for your giving, or you are in the midst of keying in your offering, all right, once you are done, I'd like to invite all of us to still our hearts, to reflect what it means to have our compassion and move our compassion into an action. All right. And this, and giving to the mission of the church, is the first step that you can take, as our ministry actively reaches out to LGBTQ persons that might not find a safe space within Singapore, or even now we are moving digital, or maybe in the region, we provide a spiritual home for them. So your giving is definitely very important and to us and many others that you might not know of. So would you like me, would you join me in a time of prayer? Dear God, you are an all-consuming fire. Consume our hearts with the fire of your love. May the fire of your love propel us into fervent actions in serving and loving one another, those around us, those in need. Your love serves as a fuel, a grace to encourage our hearts and never to lose heart in doing good to our fellow siblings, our brothers and sisters in this world. These offerings we bring before you to give you thanks, to acknowledge the good, the blessings you have bestowed upon us in our lives. And help us to grow closer to you and to realize that you abide with us and in us and through us. So help us, Lord, to love you more, knowing that we do your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In the next part, as we approach to the close, the end of the service, I'd like to invite you to hand over the time to our worship team, who actually will be bringing us through an activity of prayer and worship and deepen our journey with God.
The next song is the song of prayer. May I invite everyone to pray for someone today, for God's blessing and protection to be upon him or her. Could be your sister, your brother, dad, mom, a child, that friend, a neighbor that you care about, or even the larger group, leaders of a church, company, for Singapore or the world at large. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Space.
your children and your children and your children, may His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and your children and your children, may His presence come upon you and His bring you and beside you, all around you and within you. God is with you, God is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. God is for you, 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 God is for you. God is for you, God is for you, God is for you, God is for you. And sing, amen, amen, amen.
Let's sing again.
Receive now the benediction. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes to which He looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which He walks to do good. Yours are the hands to which He blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are His body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. May our eyes see what Christ sees. May our hearts be broken by what breaks Christ's heart, so we may be Christ's hands and feet to bless the world through our actions. So go out, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God, knowing Christ has no body now but yours. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mia, for the benediction. And to everyone, thank you for joining us today for our Sunday digital service. But we don't end here. Remember, you can join us to continue the conversation and to fellowship with one another in our prayer room and the discussion room. But before we call an end, I missed out something earlier regarding the WhatsApp number. As you also save the number for the broadcasting list, please send a number, a text message of your name to the number so that our admin, Daniel, can actually save your number also, so that you'll be receiving the broadcast, weekly broadcast and announcements. So thank you, and I'll see you all either in the prayer room or the discussion room, and also see you all next week. Thank you.